incredible privilege today to hear from someone. You know how we all feel about church planting here at The Crossing. We are a church plant, and we feel that God has placed on our hearts to plant churches, to plant 30 churches, in fact, 15 here in the States and 15 overseas. We see that happening through us all becoming disciples and then turning around and making disciples. And so we feel it's very important to keep that in focus at all times. Well, Suresh Bolam is going to be speaking today. He was actually a church planter in India. He was doing the same thing there, and he had gotten his degree in theology over in India and really felt God calling him to the States to begin reaching out to the people, the Indian people here in the United States. And he also came, the primary goal was to study counseling. And so he finished his degree with that. And so they've been coming to The Cross, seeing his family for 6 months or so, maybe a little bit more. And so we're excited to hear from him today. So Pastor Suresh, if you'll come on, let's give him a Crossing welcome this morning. And excited to hear what God has to say today.
Thank you, Pastor Mandy. And thank you all for a warm welcoming. And usually, in the Pentecostal churches, only beginning of the time will be there, not the end of the time. Because the end of the time lies on the hands of the preacher. But here, we have to follow very strictly the timing. That's why I want to follow the script very strictly. If I don't follow the script, I may attempt to tell a lot of stories based on the scriptures. So I don't want to go. And I just want to follow the script that set for today. All right. It was 1999, winter season. We went to a camp from a Bible school in India. And it was a three-day camp. Camp means it's in the weekends, beginning from the Friday evening, until the Sunday evening. We used to go to the villages nearby, and we used to distribute the tracts, share the gospel to the people, and even personal evangelism, inviting them to a place. And there, it's a kind of cottage prayer or open-air meetings. So all the people used to come at the evening, and we used to preach there and share the gospel about Jesus, and Sunday evening we used to come back to the place where we live. That was the time after we came back on Sunday, and that night, and I received a phone call that one of our students who went to a local village for outreach on a bike, and he finished sharing the gospel in that village, and on his way back, he was hit by a truck and was killed on the spot. He is a pastor's son, only son, born after a long gap of their marriage. The response of that pastor was not a usual why or where is God or something like that. Instead, it was similar to the response of Job. God gives and God takes. That kind of response came from that pastor. And he glorified God. And he declared his trust in Jesus. It's not that easy. In times of tragedy or in times of difficulties, in times of devastation or in times of worst circumstances that we face, keeping our trust and declaring our trust and faith in Jesus is not that easy. We need to have the faith, and we need to trust. We need to learn to trust God no matter what. So today, I named the title of this message is Trusting God, no matter what. One of the books that challenges us to trust God even during the worst circumstances is the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was one of the 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament. And he prophesied prior to the exile in the land of Judah. And what is Judah? Judah is a southern kingdom. If you go back to the history, there are two kingdoms. Before that, it's a one kingdom. It's the nation of Israel. But under the leadership of Saul, David, and Solomon, that was one united kingdom. After Solomon came his son to rule the nation, Rehoboam. While he was ruling the nation, the people, 10 tribes, revolt against him. And they formed a group and they made a nation under the leadership of Jeroboam. That nation called the northern kingdom. And two tribes came and formed a nation that is the southern kingdom that is called Judah. And now we are talking about the nation of Judah. And already northern kingdom, it was captured by the Assyrians in 722 BC. And we are talking about this something around 600 BC. So the northern kingdom was gone and it was captured by the Assyrians. But now, southern kingdom. There were no righteous king in the northern kingdom. All wicked kings ruled. And in the southern kingdom, there were some few righteous kings and a few wicked kings. Righteous kings comes and they make all things good, but wicked kings come, they make all things bad and make people even worse. That's what happened in the time of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, he was a contemporary to Jeremiah, the prophet. And who is a prophet? Prophet is the messenger of God who brings message from God to the people. But Habakkuk seems to be a different guy. He brings people message to God. This book starts with a question mark and ends with the exclamation point. We can trace Habakkuk's own personal journey from a place of questioning, doubt, confusion at the beginning of the book to a place of faith, hope, and confidence by the end of the book. Let's read the scripture together. It is from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 to 19. Are you ready? Let's read together. I heard, my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. And verse 19. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. This book is all about the faith in God. In fact, the key verse of the whole book is in chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. The righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk challenges us to put our faith in God even during our worst circumstances. He went to the presence of God with anger. If you read the book, there are just three chapters. In the first chapter, in the beginning of the chapter, when he went to the presence of God with anger, there is anger, there is agony, and with lots of doubt, When he heard about the Babylonians marching toward this nation to destroy it. You know, Babylonians are ruthless people. They come in and they kill the people, rape the woman, and they would enslave the children. That's the news that he heard from God. God was using these Babylonians to deliver his judgment upon Judah because they were a people who had become self-reliant instead of self-relying on the Lord. One of the questions Habakkuk asked in the beginning of the chapter, verse 13, why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? That was the question he posed. We Christians ask many times, why would God allow this tragedy? Why does God allow any tragedy to take place? Why a phone call in the middle of the night saying a loved one will not come home? Why the miscarriage? Why the cancer or any kind of disease? Why the financial breakthrough or financial breakdown? Why the job layoffs? And many more questions to list. And yet, the answer we desire never seems to come. Possibly it is because we are asking wrong questions. But God, in his infinite grace, responds to the question Habakkuk, as well as you and I, should be asking, how do I live in these terrifying times? We have to ask such kind of questions. How do I respond to the uncertainty of life? That's the question that we need to ask. Then God says the answer to this question is by faith. God expects the righteous to live by faith. The question, is it possible? Is it possible to live in such kind of uncertainty, in such kind of tragedies? Is it possible to live? Let's imagine the situation of Habakkuk for a minute. Instead of we going back to Habakkuk's age, let us bring Habakkuk to this age, okay? And let us go back to 20 years back, okay? That means the end of 90s. Okay, everyone, we went back to 90s, okay? Imagine with me. And everyone who sits here, each one is a Habakkuk. Imagine, just imagine with me. And we all are working in the same place. God revealed the fact that the terrorists are going to attack the building where we are all working. And the building is going to collapse within a few seconds. This is the message that came from God to every one of us. Okay, we all are, Habakkuks. Okay, but he did not reveal the date and time because he knew if we know, we will go for a vacation, right? However, he revealed another terrifying fact that we all are going to be in that building on the day. That is terrifying. Huh? Another cool factor that he revealed was none of us get any kind of harm, even though building collapses. Imagine what would be your thoughts at that time? You take time in your home and just imagine later on, okay? Just what would be your response to this scenario? How would that affect your faith in God? Is your faith strong enough to stand up to that kind of a trial? Could you still rejoice in the Lord if you lost everything? Your job, your home, your family? Is your faith strong enough to trust God no matter what? Habakkuk was in the similar kind of situation. His circumstances did not change when he went to God. But even unchanging God did not change. He stands against the judgment. But what happened? Habakkuk was drastically changed when he went to the presence of God. See, from the doubt, from the agony, from the pain, to the place where we read the scripture now, that is waiting patiently and trusting and keeping hope in him. So he changed. So when we talk to God, we will find the right answers. The problem is we don't talk many times to God. We talk to ourselves, or we talk to friends or somebody else, those who don't know anything, those who can't give the answers. But we talk to ourselves, and we a lot of times get disturbed, and a lot of times go to depress, you know. But the right thing to do is talk to God, where we find the right answers. In this portion of scripture that we read, Habakkuk was focused not on question he can never know the answers to, but rather responding to the question he should have asked in the first place. These final words of the book are a brilliant expression of faith. In verse 16, his faith is seen in that after expressing a healthy fear of God's judgment, he states that he will wait patiently or quietly. In verse 17 and 18, Habakkuk describes the destruction of the economy only then to say that his response will be to rejoice and have joy in the Lord. In verse 19, we have a further understanding of the prophet's faith when he describes God as his strength and the one who will cause him to rise above the coming circumstances and be able to face the tragedy approaching. Habakkuk's confession to God demonstrates that faith means to have a constant trust in who God is and what God does. Habakkuk teaches us what we are to be people of faith in all circumstances, but especially during times of tragedy and uncertainties. You may be wondering, what implications does Habakkuk's confession have on my life? There are three principles that we can draw from this passage in order to trust God no matter what. Number one, trusting God no matter what by being patient during the times of tragedy, devastation, or worst circumstances. In verse 16, Habakkuk describes the fear he is experiencing in the light of the coming judgment of the Lord. His body trembled. Few lines later, I trembled in myself, which means a fear consumed all of his body, the inward deepest parts of his being. In response to hearing God's voice, the prophet's lips quivering and began to shake violently. Then he says, rottenness entered his bones. Then he goes on to say that he will wait patiently in anticipation of what is to come. This judgment was God's will, and though it caused a fear in him, he would not run away or attempt to prohibit what God was doing, but rather he would wait patiently for the Lord to work. In doing so, he demonstrated trust by being patient. Earlier in the book, God had commanded Habakkuk to wait for the judgment that was so clearly portrayed in his vision. Habakkuk's declaration to wait patiently on the Lord was really an act of obedience. So, we too are commanded to wait patiently. The psalmist, in 37:7, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And James, chapter 1, verse 4, he says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If waiting of the Lord is an act of obedience and also a sign of trust in the Lord, the question you and I must answer is, am I obedient in trusting God? People who trust in God have rest in the midst of a chaotic world. When everyone around you is trying to figure out tragedy, you can have peace and even rest because you trust and obey that God is in fact in control of everything. Secondly, trusting God no matter what, by choosing to rejoice during the times of tragedy or devastation or whatever the worst circumstances that we face. In verse 17, Habakkuk describes the day of tragedy that is soon approaching. First, he mentions that the fig tree and vines will not produce fruit. He also mentions that the olive trees will fail to produce as well. All of these three plants are oftentimes used in scriptures to represent God's promises and prosperity on a nation. Many times we find these three. Habakkuk speaks of these trees that have signified God's favor, and now their destruction will signify God's judgment. Verse 17 paints a picture of the fact that Judah has lost favor with God, and there was going to be a day of destruction and calamity that would result in a complete economic breakdown. The prophet goes on to say in verse 18 that even though all this destruction will take place, he will rejoice in God. Habakkuk's joy is not determined by economic prosperity, but rather it is determined by what? The fact that God is his salvation. His joy would never go out of season. The economy, the enemy could destroy everything, but the relationship with God, he can't destroy the relationship with God. No matter what tragedy may occur in our lives, for whatever reason, there will always rejoice because God never abandoned his children. This is how an individual with a life-threatening disease can have joy in their situation. This is how a father who loses his son can stand at his funeral and proclaim, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our response is to always be determined not by shifting sands of the different situations of life, but rather by the constant reality that God so loved the world and he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. One of the greatest discoveries any individual could ever make is that we can choose to have joy in any kind of situation. You know, the distance between you and the joy is the distance between you and the choices that you make and the reactions that you do make. But this is something that you and I must resolve within us to do. We have seen trusting God no matter what by being patient during the times of tragedy and by choosing to rejoice during the times of worst circumstances. Now, the third and final principle from this portion is trusting God no matter what by keeping 100% confidence in God during the times of tragedy, devastation, and worst circumstances. In verse 19, Habakkuk declares that the sovereign Lord is his strength. His words have shifted from a fear of tragedy to a decision to wait on and trust God in tragedy, all resulting as an unshakable confidence in God. Next, the prophet says that the Lord makes his feet his feet like a deer's feet. What does it mean? When we look at our feet, are we happy seeing deer's feet? No. The prophet is symbolically describing a rejuvenation and strength that can only be given by God, make it through the approaching tragedy. Then he states that God will cause him to walk on the high places. It is not saying that Habakkuk and the people he prophesied to, they would escape the Babylonians' invasion, but rather their ultimate destiny would be victorious, and Israel would be restored to their land. That was the message. When we turn our attention from our circumstances to our God, we will be able to face the day of calamity with confidence in God and what God will do. Our strength will inevitably fail us. If you rely upon your strength, definitely we fail. Habakkuk clearly teaches us that we operate by the Lord's strength and therefore can live with the confidence. This is an infinite source of power, and by his power we can face any circumstances. Any circumstance. Isaiah refers to this when he says in chapter 40 verses 29 onwards, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Are you confident in the Lord? Many of us have little confidence because we have very little faith. The reason we have very little faith is because we know very little about God, about salvation. If you and I are to live confidently in the Lord in any circumstance, then we must desire and be disciplined enough to study the Word of God. Chuck Swindoll, in one of his preachings at Dallas Seminary, he quotes, "Life is 10% what happens to you, and 90% how you react to it." In one of the statements that I mentioned, the distance between you and joy is the distance between you and the choices that you make and the reactions that you do. So how are we going to make choices when we face the difficult circumstances? It is inevitable that in life, for whatever the reason, there will be days that will cause us to have a fear that strikes deep in the inward parts of our being. There may be time when our worlds are turned upside down, and as individuals of faith, we must be prepared to respond in godly manner with trust, rejoicing, and confidence that God is still on his throne. Today, where are you in your faith? How much trust can you put on God? Today, by the grace of Jesus Christ, you can begin to trust God no matter what. This trust comes through a desire and discipline to be obedient in walking with God daily, not one day, not occasionally or periodically, but daily in his word and meditation on his truth. Can we all do that? If we depend upon ourselves, we will fail. But if we depend upon the word of God, if we depend upon him, we will rejoice, as Habakkuk tells. And we could be able to proclaim God of our salvation. Shall we close our eyes? Shall we pray? Just pause a minute and think about the faith that you have. Think about the circumstances that you face and circumstances that you may face. Think about the scenario that I mentioned to you. If that situation comes to you, how would you respond? Is your faith is enough? If not, can you ask God to strengthen your faith, to trust Him, to lean on Him, and to get closer to Him by talking to Him, by reading the Word of God every day, by meditating upon His Word? Can we get closer to Him? Ask God, Lord, I'm not close enough to You. Can You help me, Lord, to make a decision today that I want to be close to You. I want to have an intimate relationship with You, Lord. I want to trust You no matter what happens to my future. I know many of you have a lot of things going on in your life. You can ask God, Lord, help me to trust You no matter what. Thank You, Jesus. Father God, we thank You for who You are and what You are doing in and through our lives. You are awesome God. You are mighty God. You are sovereign Lord. There is none like You and none besides You. You are a God of our salvation. Help us, Lord, to trust You no matter what. We choose to trust You. We choose to rejoice in Your presence, whatever happens to us. Help us strengthen our faith and make us, mold us, enable us to get closer to You day by day. Even when we are walking in the valley, help us to walk faithfully so that we may reach to the highest places that You set for us. Lord, I pray over each and every individual over here, Lord. You bless each and everyone. You take complete control of their situation. I don't know what all the situations that they are going through, but You do. As I pray, take those situations, teach the lessons that You wanted to teach, and strengthen their faith and enable them to reach to this place, the highest place that You set for each and every one. If there is any weak in faith, Lord, I pray You strengthen them, make them strong enough to trust You no matter what. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.